Hei, og velkommen til Hvorfor Norge, en podcast for deg som interessert i norsk kulturen, og en podcast for deg som interessert i å høre hva andre syns om norsk kulturen. I dag sitter jeg med en fantastisk gjest, Larissa Slotte. Hei, Larissa.
Hei.
We will turn into English. It's so nice to see you here in the studio. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. It's a big pleasure being here today.
The story behind your invitation is that one of my a former colleague actually recommended me to take contact with you. And when I saw your profile, I was so impressed.
Aww.
So I would like to hear a bit more about your story. You grew up in Brazil.
Yes, I did.
Where about in Brazil?
In Brasilia.
In Brasilia.
Yes, this is the capital of the country.
Exactly.
Some yes. people think that is Rio, but it's actually Brasilia.
It's a Brasilia. And then you studied in the U.S.?
Yes, I did study several places, actually. But my studies started in Brazil. I studied business there and did a master in international relations. And when I came to Norway, I ended up studying sustainability at BI. And now I just finished a course on MIT on neuroscience for business. So it's like a mix of like, you know, experience and studies.
Very interesting. How was it to study in Brazil versus Norway versus the US? Did you see in terms of pedagogy or approach to difficult questions, atypical cultural differences in how to approach methodology?
Well, I think that it would be like very much coming to the timing as well, because I studied in Brazil in 2000, right? So this was like so different back then. We barely like sent emails to each other. We still like making copies of books. And so very different when I studied business. I think that more the timing. In Brazil is a huge country. We look very much into our own reality, and maybe, you know, South America and US is more like the common things that we compare our economy with. While, you know, like studying in Norway, when I studied BI, I felt that was pretty much closed in Norway and Scandinavian. We don't look very much abroad, although the course was international. I felt that was very much like concentrated in what's going on in Scandinavian. And US, like this last course that I did, was much more like global, taking to, you know, like perspective of several realities and markets and so on and so forth. And I think that this could be the difference. I think that, MIT is more like global oriented, while, you know, Brazil and Norway is more like focusing on their own realities.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm. But it still gives you like a mental flexibility while studying abroad that you acquire when you just learn in another language and approach something in a different way. I think it's very enriching.
Yeah, absolutely.
What made you come to Norway? That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Hvorfor Norge?
Hvorfor Norge? God spørsmål. Well, I actually did know this answer, but now I know very well. Looking back, so I used to write my story. And now I have like journaling for my whole entire life. And looking back in one of my journals, I saw me request to the universe that I wish to live in a country with a perfect system and no corruption. I am sure that this was like the reason that brought me to Norway. Just a succession of coincidences. I end up here, and today I understand that this is like my soul, you know, like kind of trying to find a place that I would feel more peace in terms of, you know, like I was very frustrated with the Brazilian reality when I start to travel the world. And just a big coincidence. But I end up here because I want to live in a country with a perfect system and no corruption. What is the better country in the world than Norway for that, right? So it was like just a law of attraction, I believe.
Wow, a very interesting answer. And did it deliver up to your expectations?
You've been
there for many years now, 15?
Yes.
So you know the deal. It's not like you just arrived yesterday, right? You know the deal?
I know. In terms of like a perfect system and no corruption, yes, 100%. I know there are a few things that happens here, but since I have my Brazilian perspective, for me it's nothing. I trust the system a lot. And, you know, like one of the best sensations that I have living in these countries is like, you know, going to vote in elections according to my philosophy and what I believe that is best for the country, but with a peace in my spirit that no matter what is going to be okay. It's exactly the opposite that I had in my country, you know what I mean? Like there, I go vote and I have my philosophies and stuff, but I know that independent of who wins is like not going to be very good, you know? Like he's just like so easy to, you know, to, yeah, convey and exist in terms of like being part of the system. I trust it 100% and I'm very happy very happy to be Norwegian in that terms.
It seems that we came to forget when you were born in a country with such a level of freedom and trust in the authorities, that we tend to forget how privileged we are. And it's very nice to have that kind of voice and that, you know, you just said as a friendly reminder of, Yes, the winter is long and yes, snow is annoying on the roads, but hey, we have freedoms and a democracy which is still well functioning. And it was also this kind of parliamentarism, which doesn't make, in France, it's also like it can flip around the coins. It's dangerous, in my opinion. Whereas what you just described is very, I think, relatable for many of us foreigners.
Yeah.
And so, but you have a Norwegian name.
I do. Yes, I got married with a Norwegian.
Oh. Yeah.
So this is not the reason that I came into the country. Actually, I was attracted by a Norwegian too. And the fact that I was single when I came, and there is so many, you know, blue eyes, tall men in this country, made it very kind of like, whoa, you know, together with the perfect system, no corruption, why not? But yeah, it came after a while. I was like very much looking forward to get to know a Norwegian man. I think that also like the fact that the men here are educated by feminist women, it made me very attracted by, you know, like this. So I got married in the second year that I was here, and I still married with the same guy.
Oh, so that's a happy story.
Yeah. I can't complain. I think that it works.
So now you are Larissa Slottet, and it sounds perfectly Norwegian on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say just before we started the recording, how can you survive without a Norwegian name in this country? What was behind this comment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that this is like, and then we go to the bad side of the coin, I believe. I think that, it's not very easy to become a part of, to belong and to, you know, be considered a part of Norway. And I think that the name is like the first step. If like you come to Norway and don't have the Norwegian name, you may not be invited to interviews, you may not find a job, you may not be taken seriously, people may not trust you. So, yeah, I was very, very happy when I could like use my husband's names. And actually, it's quite exclusive name. It's just a farm inside Kristiansand somewhere. So it's like, it's not a lot of people. Yes, thank you. I think like, I'm making a good use of the name, and I'm very grateful that I could like, you know, add this into my profile. And it was important.
I understand. But what's impressive with you is that you say so, but at the same time, your professional track records in Norway is flawless. You managed to work for a different organization. You've worked for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for many years as a cross-cultural communication consultant. What did you do then? What was your job there?
In UDE.
Mm-hmm.
So like they have a department for training the diplomats that are going abroad. And I was part of this department. So training them to go to countries that speaks Portuguese, and including Brazil, Portugal, Angola, and Mozambique.
Yeah.
So we are doing cultural training and also language training. Very, very nice. It was good times I had at UDE. But if I didn't have Slottet as my name, I could change it for resilience. It looks very similar as my career in Norway,
yes,
but was nothing.
Tell us the truth behind the
truth scene. Is that it's hard, very hard to, you know, get in place. And this is like one of the reasons that we end up like kind of getting one specialization more, getting one more master, getting one more qualification. And in the end, you end up like being classified as like, I don't know, overqualified. I did get good jobs, and I'm very lucky that, I could build a substantial career. But for each yes that I got at least 150 no's. And this also made me feel very sick at some point and sad. And, you know, like it's the lack of belonging that, I need to build in another way, in an intrinsic way, because like there were signs everywhere that I'm not part of the game, you know. So, yeah, it was not easy, not at all. But
and the network is something a lot of foreigners in this podcast and outside the podcast point as a difficult thing to build, both because of cultural barriers, but also the fact that it's a small society where some friendships and some networks are being built from day one in childhood. And then if you come here as an adult, which I did too, you are an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely relate that it's hard, even though I'm also married with a Norwegian and I also have now a Norwegian last name. It's still, I think, a challenge.
Yeah.
It is. But so you went to MIT to feel your qualifications in order to be more attractive on the Norwegian job market?
Well, I don't know if this is 100% true because now I'm working for myself. But I felt that this qualification would give me more possibilities of working what I want to work now. And I like to learn new things. And this is a very new science that I was very curious about. And I got fascinated by the professor. I read like two or three books. And then, that was like in my plans to fulfill. So it's not to get a job, but it's just for working this on the work that I'm doing, like using
That's
this.
That's very nice. And also, it surely also open new windows or new perspectives you didn't have from before. And
totally, yeah. It's always good to keep recycling learning, especially in times of VUCA transformation that we are living now.
Yeah. But so now you work for yourself, you said. Can you tell us what you do now?
Yes, so I have a small company called Culturas. We have been working with cross-cultural knowledge and for several years, and I was working basically as a consultant. During these times, I was also working for the Brazilian Norwegian Chamber of Commerce, so I have a lot of experience in, you know, like building commercial relations between those two countries. But I automatically after studying at BI, studying sustainability, my part of sustainability that really like touched my heart is the social sustainability, dealing with people. Mm. So, yeah, I have always asking myself, what can I bring from Brazil to Norway? You know, like what can be my mission in this country? What can I add in this context here? And was like in the beginning, I thought like, okay, it's going to be the Portuguese language or the Brazilian culture for the people that is going to Brazil or like so on and so forth. But at some point, I just understood that it's not that. It's the connection that people have in Brazil so seamless, so easily. And, you know, like the way that we care about each other and that we connect, this is what Norway needs from me. And this is what I'm bringing now through self-development. And you know, like this industry of self-development is really booming in Brazil. I saw like the opportunity, and I end up becoming like an ambassador for the Inner Development Goals. That is a movement that is born in Sweden, but is very new here in Norway. So this is what we are doing now. We are using the Inner Development Goals as framework, like a framework as a menu, and going to the organizations, identifying the inner skills that is most needed for organizations to achieve their goals. And then we are enabling the, you know, like embracing of these skills in the employees.
Wow. Okay. So and when you say organization, can it be private actors or public actors?
It's private so far. Private international organizations. Those are my focus. Yeah.
And when you say organization, it's not companies, right? It's like
companies.
Oh, companies
too.
Okay, so I'm
working with several companies now, like Statkraft.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah.
So okay, that's very interesting because I think that this what Norwegian called mang volunteering, or what some companies call also diversity, equity, inclusion, is part of it. I guess it's just a part of what you just said.
Yeah.
But what do you have like for people that listen to us? Examples of what companies that do it well do.
Yeah.
To make people connect in a seamless way?
Yeah. So what happens here is that, you know, like we as a society, we have a lot of biases and, you know, like limiting beliefs. And this sometimes is a wall between us, the people that is here, and the people that is coming from outside. And a lot of times international employees, when they come to the Norwegian market, they feel like an outsider, and then they start to feel like, okay, I don't belong, I don't have a value in the society, they start to get depressed and sick, and this is like very, very bad to organizations. So some of organizations is like understanding this needing of, you know, putting everybody in the same like kind of understanding of the importance of diversity. So like being living in Norway for 15 years and working with like being advocating for inclusion and diversity here, I saw a lot of different scenarios. When I came in, there was no people, different people at all. You came into the companies, you saw everybody was very homogeneous and you didn't see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Some point they start to open up and you know more and more people come into the places, but it's requested from us as different people that when we come to this place, we become one of us. So, you know, take your Brunus and your Brociva and Ike Znakemevarandre and be a little bit more reserved. Don't move your hands. How many times I heard it was like, don't move your hands so much.
I'm moving my body all the time. Yeah. Otherwise, I feel that I can't speak.
And I think that for the first time, I feel that now we are having the knowledge or the awareness that, like, if we try to transform other people into one of us, then they miss their value because they end up sick and depressed and they don't operate well. So, like, let these people bring what they have to bring. So for the first time, I feel that, like, my diversity is taken seriously. And somehow I was very much incisive in like inside myself, even if in my worst days, you know, like deep on my depressions or like when I had my burnout, I remember that inside myself, something was telling me, stick on who you are, stick on who you are, keep moving your hands, don't care. So I learned codes to operate as I am in the Norwegian society.
Okay.
And obviously sometimes I'm misunderstanding, you know, people kind of misunderstand me and stuff and I let it go, but I very much sticked on who I am. So I'm, you know, I give hugs, but I announce before, I'm giving a hug. And then people open up because so many times, I try to jump on people and they got scared and stuff. So we end up like kind of understanding like how to be who you are in this environment. But I think that, this was my goal since the beginning. And I felt that like, you know, this is what I have to give for the society now.
And I think it's very interesting because some people misunderstand, I guess, the job of cross-cultural communication while becoming a chameleon, where we would change all of you to fit the new work environment. And I see you do that with your head. And I completely agree with this. I guess it's more about being perhaps, a tiger or having like big eyes and big ears and listen and also be careful and silent at the beginning and then find your spot, find your place. But still, stay who you are. What do you bring to the table? That is the value of diversity.
Exactly.
But yeah, I completely relate. I remember my first workplace, I took French lunch what Norwegian called matpakke. And there were so much comments on what I had inside. And it made me terrified at the end. So at some point, I ended up eating also bread and brown cheese. Just to stop being the center of attention at the table because, oh, what does she has in this box? Or,
yeah.
And I don't think it was badly intended. Not at all. But it was just like wrong attention to get.
Exactly. And in the beginning, we are also misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Because I wish like in my first job, someone could come to me and tell like, okay, this is nothing personal against you. Because my feeling was these people don't like me.
Yeah, me.
These people avoid me. Yeah. Like, and this like makes us so sad inside. Yeah. It's super difficult to keep motivated and creative and being a good employee if you are having these feelings like on daily basis.
Yeah.
And nobody could have like, you know, the sensibility to explain to me that this is nothing personal against you. This is just how they operate. So everything was like taking personally. And I think that this is why in the beginning it's so difficult for us to operate. And we end up like just adapting, you know, like just being the same.
Which is nice. I think adapting is a nice word because it doesn't change, it doesn't mean become somebody different. But in a way, adaptation needs to go both ways, right?
Yeah. And but I think that I became a different person.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Definitely. I really stopped moving my hands. I changed the way that I was speaking. I was trying to operate exactly like others was operating. But then I got sick. I just met a wall. Poof! Like my system doesn't operate. Me being another being. I don't know how to just, you know. So I need to go through deep self-development myself to, first of all, remember who I was and then trying to build and bring little by little of myself, but also building this, you know, awareness around me. Like, so this is like the things that I explain, like the tools that I use to like, oh yeah, you know, now I'm going to give you a hug so I can go and hug before, you know, I make people scary. So it was like kind of a process. And I'm like a life coach myself, too.
Yeah.
I have been working a lot with internationals in the same situation than I.
You were anticipating my questions. Perfect transition. Yeah.
Good. And I see so many others that is exactly the same. In the beginning, we lost ourselves. We try to operate the same so we can just til passe or belong or like be part of this. And then we start to get, you know, sick and nervous and, you know, anxious and depressed and maybe burn out. And then after this process, we need to rebuild who we really are and then come back to operation in another way. And this is like the richness, I think, that we need to bring in. You know, today, this is very clear for me that we should be more open to others, be exactly who they are. And obviously, we need to follow the rules and, you know, like the laws, but it doesn't mean that I need to change my personality just to, you know.
So when you had Statcraft, for example, or just at a random company, what would you do with whom inside of the company to help this integration? So, do you coach leaders or do you coach employees from abroad or both?
Yeah, well, now it's a little bit different. I'm focusing on increasing collaboration. Like, so are you familiar with the IDGs? Not really, no?
I've been working a bit with it because yeah. I have, as I mentioned to you before the recording starts, a kind of a business background. So, yeah.
But maybe like your community haven't heard about. So the IDGs, Inner Development Goals, is a new framework just launched by UN. It's like launched by Ekshärad Foundation in Sweden, but was embraced by UN. So if I can just summarize, the Sustainable Development Goals, the 17 SDGs, they are what we have to achieve in terms of sustainability. And the IDGs would be the how we are going to get in there. So it's basically like expecting that every sector of the society and every individual is going to start to looking inwards and grow these inner skills inside themselves. So we are going to be, this is going to enable us to be more, you know, active in terms of sustainability. And this is divided in five dimensions of inner skills, that is like being, thinking, relating, collaborating, and acting. So this is like how we start a process. I go to a team leader that wanna improve one of those dimensions in their team. And then we develop like the training of those inner skills through micro learnings. And then we have like a workshop where we experiment different activities where, for instance, like if we are looking to collaboration, we are going to give tools for better collaboration. And but it's basically like bring people back to their senses and, you know, like making people understand that we are too much operating in the active part of the brain, like, you know, managing part of the brain. And we need to come back to relaxing sometimes, because if you don't have a balance between these two parts of your brain, you basically like operating with a lot of stress and cortisol in your body. And so we bring a lot of the fifth element of the balance of keeping a good performance is silence. So the first one is basically common sense, is like hydration, nutrition, oxygenation through physical activity, a good sleep, 6 hours uninterrupted every day. And these all people kind of know and try to keep in control. But the fifth term is the silence, mindfulness, meditation. So this is a lot of what is coming to this, but they experiment this together with other factors as well. Like developing inwards is very fun. It's a lot of fun things that, you know, like you can bring to these activities. And this is just like the start point. It's like basically putting a seed on the soil. So
exactly,
people get
yeah.
very touched and, you know, like they kind of shift a little bit their mindset and then they keep growing through different ways.
And how long does the journey take for an organization to be at the starting point before they can see like tangible results?
So what I'm describing to you, the micro learnings plus the workshop, is a product that we have called NeuroConnection, and this is more or less a 6 month partnership.
Well, that's not too long.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yes,
6 months is very relatable. It's nice.
Yeah, but we also have like very smart, like there is a product that we have called Reset that can be like just a 3 hours in a team building, for example. We can just come, throw the seeds on the soil, make people feel a little bit better by connecting to each other, and leave. So it's different, depends of like, but the one that really brings effect is the one that we put a little bit more time and effort to it. It takes time to grow, and we can always like just put the seeds as well in the soil and leave, just to make them like this wake-up call, but we can also have this longer partnership.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. And when you say we, how many are you working at Kulturas?
We are several people. And I'm very proud of it. I put a like, you know, like when I decide to change the business model, the first thing that I did was like going my network and asking some people that I admire a lot and that have good positions in the business world to become my advisors, my board. So I have a board with 5 advisors and my partner. And they are all working on pro bono, but they are very involved with the mission. So we can count on them. And then that is me and two other people working the operations.
Oh, that's very clever to put your own network in your board.
I know. And it's another thing that I can leave it as a tip, you know.
Oh my God, I'm going to write this down right now.
That's, you see, like in Norwegian society, we are not very used to help each other, not at least not in the terms of in the Brazilian society, what is very understandable. In Brazil, we cannot count on the government, so we count on each other. And it's very normal. Like in Brazil, for instance, if I'm introduced to someone, you know, my network, they receive me telling like, hi, how can I help you? Mm. This is like, you know, the approach. So it's very easy to help each other. And here is more discreet. We don't depend of each other. We can rely on the government.
What Norwegian called selvstendighet is extremely high on the agenda.
Exactly.
And for me, it has good values, but also a very, it makes it very alone if you're alone.
Yeah. But then when you learn that you can just ask, and when you ask for help, people is very willing to help. So I have discovered that very early in my life, thanks God. So I have like a lot of support and I can't complain. I have so many friends, Norwegian friends that has helped me. And now in my board, again, that is, you know, like not only Norwegians, I put a diverse board, but that is some, you know, like high level Norwegians helping me there too. So I'm very happy that I could get them on board.
Yeah, well, that's very inspiring. I will note that down right away. Regarding what you also now as a private person, so your family is both Norwegian and Brazilian. You have children?
I have two girls.
Two girls. Do they feel Brazilian or do they feel Norwegian or do they feel both? What do you think?
I think that they feel both. It's very clear that my girls is a very funny family. So my husband is naturally very blonde, blue eyes, and we have one girl, like the first one, with my looks, but a Norwegian soul. Clearly to see. And then the second one is super blonde, blue eyes. Difficult to believe that she came from me, but she has a Brazilian soul. She's like a personality, is like drama queen from the beginning to the end. We have been traveled to Brazil every year. We also receive like family. And then I have a Brazilian community here too.
Oh,
so
how is Brazilian community?
And they speak Portuguese. It's huge. And it's,
yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, like so the Brazilian community really increased in Norway with when Lula was in the government for the second time, I believe. There was like an agreement for the oil industry, so they began to bring a lot of engineers. This was like the picking of the community. And then there is like several companies, Yara, Statkraft, and, you know, like Aker and Equinor, they keep bringing Brazilians, and you know, like the Brazilians invite other Brazilians. So the community is quite big. It's basically like one person that comes with a job and then the partner that comes and struggles a little bit to put themselves in the market. And
this is a recurring comment in this podcast, how hard it is to be the plus one and to crack the code of this very locked society. Mm. Plus, if you know that you're not going to stay forever, it's even harder.
Yeah.
But is there any place in Oslo where Brazilians live? Or stay?
No.
They are a bit everywhere?
No. You know, like the Brazilian embassy has absolutely no control, no idea of the number of Brazilians that are here. That is very Brazilian. We are like basically like the gangs of the companies. So that is like these people that work on Yara and then the people that works on Equinor. And then like, you know, once in a while we try to organize events and stuff. But there is no rules and no... And that is like a Brazilian bar and a Brazilian restaurant. And you know,
yeah, tell me, where are they? The Brazilian restaurant is Brasilia?
There is a new Brazilian bar called Ipanema.
That sounds very Brazilian.
Very Brazilian. And it's just downtown, very close to the central station. And it's like really picking. It's really nice. A lot of Brazilians are going there.
Oh, cool. And because I've been at the Churrascaria, which is called Brasilia.
Yeah,
exactly. At Rodus.
This is the restaurant.
All the waiters were not Brazilian, though. But it was a very nice experience.
Yeah? Mm. Did you like it?
Good. I've been in Brazil once because one of my friends actually married a Brazilian girl. And... the churrascaria in Brazil is hard to top. So I'm not sure if I can tell you, looking you in the eyes, that the churrascaria in Oslo
is the same level.
No, but it was still a very nice experience.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so you speak both languages at home?
Yes.
Does Herr Schlott speaks Brazilian?
My kids speak Portuguese, not my husband.
Your husband?
No, he is like more kind of a fixed mindset guy.
You speak English together?
We speak English, Norwegian.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I speak Norwegian too. I feel more comfortable speaking English. I have been in a few bullying situations. Unfortunately, this, like, you know, blocks me a little bit with my Norwegian, but I'm fluent in Norwegian too. So
yeah, yeah. I mean,
with the girls, we speak Norwegian. And then if it's just me and the girls, we speak Portuguese.
That's nice. Okay, cool. And is there any typical Brazilian traditions, songs, food types that you would serve under your, if I open the door of your house, am I in Norway or am I in Brazil, or am I in actually a strange mix of both?
Yes, and kind then, of like in this middle way there, but we do eat Brazilian food.
And what time do you have dinner?
5.
So Norwegian style?
Norwegian style. Very okay. Norwegian style. I think but that how the lifestyle is pretty much Norwegian.
Yeah, okay.
And then I bring like a little bit of the musicality and, you know, like the social life of the Brazilians,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
How old are your girls?
10 and 13.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they are grown up enough to enjoy all of these cultural differences and
yes.
and appreciate it.
Yes. And there was like phases. I remember when I, for the first time, noticed that maybe my kid doesn't want to stand out. So she asked me, like, in Barnehagen, the first kid, like, I can't do it because I'm Portuguese, que mamãe e Barnehagen. Or she was like a little bit ashamed. And I was like, okay, this is like, you know, why would be ashamed? But now they are super proud. I think that... in general, like, Brazil is a country that Norwegians look with very good eyes.
Yes, that's
true.
And they
kind of understood that they could, like, you know, bring a little bit of popularity by being half Brazilian. So they really assumed the place. They are both, like, football players.
Oh, and, that's you know, cool.
Yeah. So they like to be half Brazilians. But obviously, like, when they come to Brazil, then they are Norwegians, obviously. There's no point for them to try to be Brazilian in Brazil. It's different. And it's the same with me. Like... I'm a mother, you know, I'm a Norwegian mother. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Brazilian mother. I didn't have kids in Brazil. I had my kids both here. They grow up here. They go to education here, education system. I don't know how to be a mom in Brazil, you know, like, and it's the same, I think, for them.
It's very relatable. I even wrote a book myself called Where Babies Sleep Outside, because I was amazed about this tradition. But it's more about my experience, my French eyes on the way Norwegian raised children, which I love. Uh-huh. My children are smaller than yours. The oldest is 7 and I have 2 others. But I really liked the years at the barn. Yeah, it was for me very impressive of how they raise children and what kind of social values do they bring to them and all this time outdoor. Mm-hmm. Whereas school starts at 3 years old in France. So children are expected to sit at the table, use the toilets at 3 years old. Norwegian kids have so much more freedom, but in a way learn so many different things that they will use as an adult. And for me, it was also a little bit of a, what Norwegians call aha opplevelse, because what they tell children on how to behave or how to react in this situation, for me was also, that explains why they would behave like this in companies or at the working culture.
Yeah.
When adults, mm-hmm. regarding conflict or regarding respect to each other and so on.
Yeah, and contact with nature as well. I think it's
contact to nature, yeah. For sure. So that's interesting.
And but obviously it doesn't make like us less experienced, like when dressing the babies, for example. I remember like I had all kinds of like, you know, misunderstandings and it was confusing. But
it's very hard. My first kids, I was lost. But then I got 3, so the third time I was the one like teaching new French
yes.
arrived people. It's first the ul and then yeah, exactly. the fleece and then
all the three layers.
Yeah, exactly. So you have both cultures at home. You said that. Is there any traditions or celebrations you celebrate from Brazil?
Well,
here in Oslo?
It's a lot of fights, at least for my right of celebrating things in a different way. Christmas is one of them.
Okay, tell me.
I'm
You don't
very,
like Ribe?
I don't like Ribe. I don't like the consumism. I don't like the number of gifts. I don't like the tree inside the house. I don't like basically nothing. And I'm quite traumatized with Norwegian Christmas. So I'm fighting for my right to introduce Christmas as it makes sense for me to my kids. But obviously, they love this all, you know, like they want to have like the Norwegian model because this is what was introduced to them in the first years. But still, I will keep, you know, like finding my space. To
How do you celebrate disrupt. Christmas in Brazil? Tell me what you
well,
would
wait,
have
I,
done.
I don't appreciate the Christmas in Brazil either. So like this is quite... you know, I'm from sustainability. I'm looking to the world with other eyes. I think that in Christmas we should be looking the eyes, connecting, embracing each other's challenge, supporting each other, and also dreaming together for the new year. And like having this kind of dynamics, not really like opening gifts and going stressful and buying things. And Brazil is pretty much the same than Norway. Like, we have bigger parties, though. It's a little bit more different from year to year because we invite other peoples. It's not only the center core. And we make different foods. And, you know, like, it's a little bit more, yeah. But it's a lot about consumism as well. And I think that I would disrupt in Brazil, too, if I had the chance. And here I feel a little bit harder because it's hard to not do the same than last year. You know, like, Norwegians are very obsessed with the traditions and they get confused because for me, tradition's not repetition, but for them, tradition is repetition. So
same procedure as last year. Have you seen this movie?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
Give me no hope, mister.
No.
I mean, if you watch it, you're going to be dead inside. It's very strange. Mm. They hired English, my friend told me so. So they hired English actors from a German production to play a very bad humoristic movie for Norwegian market that they watched every year at the same day, at the same time, exactly the same. And the movie is the same joke 10 times.
Oh my God.
And that's repeat. For me, it's very strange too.
Very. Yeah. It's like, it's what I argument with my husband and their family. You know, like, that we leave the Christmas in the same way that his father left when he was a kid. And
where is he from in Norway?
He's from inside Kristiansand, a place called Finnsland. Yeah. It's a very small place. A lot of sympathetic people, but you know, like, this reality that is like a few houses, one church, one petrol station. And, you know, like, we need to kind of keep remembering that we are living in 2025. World today is different. Why should I make the same Christmas that your father made when he was a kid? It makes absolutely no sense. We need to keep evolving. And this repetition is like the part of the things that I don't really appreciate very much.
I understand.
Being here. So
we have a lot of foreigners that listen to us that have learned Norwegian or are trying to learn Norwegian. You've been there for many years. You still have your perspective and you've been through a personal and professional journey that helped us to put into perspective, what should I change? What should I not change? Which I really appreciate. Do you have any advice for people out there that search for a job, for example, that you could actually share with us or share with them to feel, make them still motivated and committed to their job search and not giving up?
Yes. Well, first of all, build your resilience, you know, and remember that, like, having no is just like, I look into all the no's that I receive as little bricks to my castle, you know, and I put them all together and I'm keeping building my castle. You are going to be blocked from so many opportunities just because you are not Norwegian. But, you know, like, I think that also understand what is your differential, what are you bringing to the table that a Norwegian could not bring. This is what I did from the very beginning. You know, I asked, okay, I'm from Brazil, I'm not going to be competing with Norwegian from same. So what can I do that Norwegians cannot? So I was like looking for jobs that needs a Portuguese speaking or, you know, like that need a little bit more understanding of my country. So I end up like in the cross-cultural industry, and at the time I was the only one basically like doing that. It was very innovative, but understand your differential and also understand like having a good argument to explain how important it is to have, you know, this overview from other place, and for sure learning Norwegian. This is like demanding. I like to speak in English. I feel more comfortable speaking English, but I don't ask anyone to change their language to speak to me. They can speak to me in any kind of dialect in Norwegian or even Danish, like Swedish. Today, I understand everything very well. And I think that when you give this freedom for the people working to you, it makes it a little bit easier to...
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And if I flip it around, do you have any advice for companies? The thing is, to put it this way, there is on one hand a lot of companies that are really deeply, sincerely willing to work with diversity and willing to take more bold choice when they hire people. But on the same time, there is this terrible, for example, research that has been done from two researchers recently. It was an article on NRK before Christmas regarding the fact that the discrimination based on the name at the top of a CV is enormous in Norway. And unfortunately, the patterns were even more distinct, the more exotic your name sounds in a Norwegian mind. So, knowing these two facts, is there anything you can tell to people that are willing, really willing to do something and to move their company into the right direction and are listening to us based on all your experience, both on the Crestworld communication, but also your personal development company, mm-hmm. what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, operate in a curious mindset. You are going to get in contact with someone that for sure is not so good in Norwegian as you are and is not so good in Norwegian politics as you are, but they are bringing something that you don't know into the table. And you need to choose the best, no matter what, for your business and for your company. And sometimes someone that is different than the homogeneous group will push you to, you know, outside of your comfort zone, but like be curious and don't feel that this is necessarily bad, because I kind of have a lot of empathy for Norwegians. We are used to do things in the same way, repeating, understand each other without speaking very much. And then when someone very different coming to around, it messes up a little bit the system. But it's necessary. The world is mixing, you know, like Oslo, for instance, has 40% of internationals living in the city.
I know, it's crazy. Within 3 years, exactly. Half of them. Why? Because they don't thrive. Why don't they thrive? Because they struggle either to find work or to find a network and to find friends.
To find belonging.
Exactly. Back to your keywords.
This is an essential need of human beings. We need to be open to each other. And, you know, like it or not, the society where we live is everybody that we see with our eyes. Everybody that is living here, paying tax here, is part of it. Like, so move on, like it or not. This is the reality. We need to kind of represent in our companies what the society is, you know? In the end of the day, they are customers as well. So it's the same with, no,
it's
like,
true. Exactly,
you know,
what
like,
is expected from the market,
exactly.
Actually.
It's the same
mirror.
With gender, but it's not only a problem in Norway. We struggle with diversity in everywhere in the world.
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure. I mean, yes. For sure. France is not a big example either. So what do you think are the typical mistakes companies do when recruiting multicultural? They don't manage to give them this belonging feeling you mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can talk based on my experience and also like other people that I have coached and I have been close. I think that the first of all is like we expect people to be just like us. And then when people act a little bit different, instead of we have this curious mindset and try to understand why, we kind of judge them and put them inside little boxes, you know. So several times that is misunderstandings, not because of the actions of these people, but because of we are not programmed to be open-minded and curious about these people. Then when we try to expect that these people behave just like us, we are asking them to stop being who they are. And this is going to, for sure, bring a decrease in their operations. You know, they are going to stop being creative, they are going to stop being, you know, like who they are, the motivation is going to drop down, and this is where the problems start. So there are several tools that, you know, you can do to make people feel welcome, but also justify that, okay, this is just, you know, the way that we act, but we don't expect you to be on this and that time. And so, like, it's basically training. We need to be, you know, like, especially for leaders, we need to understand that we need more capacity to dealing with the differences, and not only different people, but also different times. Everything is changing so much. So we need to keep our mind very open and mindset curious.
Very, very nice. And I think it's very nice to remember that there is also, as you just said, tools, to easy tools.
Yeah,
to totally make people feel welcome and to feel good, exactly as they are right now, and shine as a star. I've prepared for you what I call in Norwegian Femme Kjappe. It's five quick questions regarding how Norwegian or Brazilian you are. Just don't think too much. Just would you rather go bathing in Ipanema or bathing in Bygdøy?
Ipanema, for sure. I'm sorry about this.
What is your favorite Norwegian celebration?
Favorite Norwegian celebration? Okay. Summer? I'm not sure, to be honest. I
can take another one, don't worry. So, Ipanema. Okay. Would you rather drink caipirinha or Fernet?
Caipirinha. Very Brazilian.
I've of course oriented the quiz. I was laughing alone when I prepared the quiz. I was like, this is so easy. Everybody, as you said, Norwegians love Brazil, so I think they would answer like this too. Would you rather attend a dugnad or a fagforeningmøte?
A dugnad. I enjoy dugnad.
You do?
Yeah.
That sounds very Norwegian to me, Larissa.
I know. But this is like, I love contacting and interaction, you know? Like, if you give me reasons, I can just be cleaning outside. But if I'm connecting with, you know, my neighbors, or we used to do a little bit party and pizza party after dugnad, I think that is fun.
It makes belonging, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. It's community, right? Yeah. Like, obviously, not in an excessive way. I don't want to be cleaning the whole entire Barnehagen before the summer.
No,
but
for
like,
sure. But still,
yeah,
it's a good excuse to talk to people.
I like this building together kind of mentality.
I work closely with a guy called Julien Bourrel, who is someone I admire a lot, and he does a lot of cross-cultural training. And he says that Norwegians need to sweat together to build connections or to have a common goal to achieve, do something together. And I really like this picture because for me it was, yeah, that's why I got new friends at the dugnad in Barnehage. Yeah. So first I was going like, oh, do we need to? And I went home and I was like, this was so nice.
Yeah, the same feeling. It's community. But like, I think that also like Norwegians becomes extremely social in the forest. I think it's this phenomenon is fantastic. In the city, nobody look into your eyes, no matter what happened. But you go inside the forest, 1 millimeter, they are so nice and social. It's like very impressive. Every time that we are skiing, like we end up like talking to people. And it's, they need a little bit of kind of nature around
them. Even the dogs are happier. Have you seen this? Some dogs look pretty depressed in Grünerløkka. You make them into Nordmarka, like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
If you were to move to another country, not Norway, not Brazil, which country would it be?
France.
Oh my God.
I know.
Are you being polite or are you just like,
no,
for real?
I really want to learn French. So I have been with this in the head of my back, in the back of my head, actually. I would love to explore your country.
Okay, cool. Totally. Have you been to France?
Yes.
Where have you been?
Paris and the island. What is the name of this?
Corsica. Place?
Corsica. I spent 2 holidays there.
That's nice. And very different part of the country, I guess.
Yeah. I think that like at some point I was like a little bit concerning of like, should I stay in Norway forever? This was like before Gary married. Or should I just keep moving and learning a new language? French came into my mind, you know.
Oh.
But I would love to live in Australia too. I have lived there for a while. I love the system there. It's a little bit far away, but I love the Australian lifestyle. Oh, like, you know, Indonesia for sure I would live. So many countries that I could live. The world is... it's so big, right? It feels a little bit kind of, I want to move. I like to move around. I have lived in 5 different countries already.
Wow. Yeah. Impressive. Mm. And 5 very different. I mean, I've lived to 5 countries too, or 4 or 5. But it was like Germany, Switzerland, Norway. It's still Europe, right? Whereas you've been like USA, Brazil,
Australia,
Norway.
New Zealand.
Very different
Caribbean,
deals.
Spain.
Very different. You've been in Spain?
I lived in Spain.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Whereabouts?
Mallorca, the best.
What were you doing there?
I was working in the yacht industry.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was based in Mallorca, but working for the, you know, private fancy yachts. Very fun times.
You must have a very interesting professional network, Larissa.
I know, all the marineros.
Okay, last questions. It's a nice questions. What any of us should remember when working with people from different cultures?
Keep your mind opened and curious mindset. Just keep asking questions. People is going to be different, but they not necessarily are going to be bad. It's just different.
Is there any cliche Norwegians have about Brazil that are not necessarily true?
Yes. Norwegians believe that they are better than Brazilians in football because... they have never been beat by Brazilians. They actually won a game that is not
in France, in Marseille, in 1998.
I know.
This is so random.
It's very funny because in Brazil, nobody knows it. Nobody
in France either.
But here, like, you know, like no matter, you know, where I come, like when I came to talk about Brazil, my kids' school in the 4th grade, the lot of the kids like, did you know that Norway bet Brazil in football? So yeah, this is this big cliche. They have never bet Brazilians and yeah, I think that they believe that they are better than Brazil because they won Brazil in the World Cup. But this is just a cliche, guys. This is not really 100% true. I think we didn't play enough together.
Okay, do you want to say a last sentence in Brazilian to our listeners before we say bye-bye?
Yes, I think that I will say eu amo a Noruega. Oh. I love Norway in Portuguese.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
Tusen takk. Thank you so much.
Veldig hyggelig.
Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.